Good evening and welcome into the Sports Drive postponed pod. This is something new. Just because the Sports Drive is not happening live because the Wahoos, you know, we are at the mercy of the Wahoos because we have all the games carried. That game will be live on ESPN Pensacola. In this case, today, Thursday, August 4th, starting at 4:30 is the first game, then the next game following right afterwards. We're going to be doing a podcast that is essentially a shortened version of the Sports Drive. As always, I'm your host, Drew, and there's a lot of topics we're going to get into today. The College Athlete Bill of Rights, talked about that a little bit on yesterday's show. Brittany Griner being sentenced to prison. How long is the sentence? Some more on Deshaun Watson in the NFL and details behind the appeal of the NFL. What are they looking to appeal? How long is the process going to take? Talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars as well. And more on Tommy Tuberville leading the congressional push for NIL and the importance of name, image, and likeness in collegiate athletics. All of that on today's Sports Drive postponed pod. Again, this is something new. Just want to give you some fresh content, keeping the 65 days of college football off of the podcast and just on the normal show. So tomorrow's show will be loaded with all of the four teams we're going to be diving through with the 65 days of college football to keep pace with the way that we're going in order to get ready for the college football season. So without further ado, here are three things you need to know.
Number three pulls off three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good!
4-3!
I don't know. Third base!
Three things you need to know.
Number one, Saints offensive lineman Trevor Penning kicked out of practice yesterday after starting fights for 3 days in a row. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this later on in the podcast, but good grief, guy. The Saints should have known about this all along, about his behavior. I'll tell you why that is a little bit later in the podcast. Number two, Brittany Griner been sentenced in Russia 9 years in a Russian prison. This does not mean she's going to spend 9 years, though, in prison. This is part of the process to get her home. More details on that a little bit later. Also, number three, Roger Goodell is not going to hear the appeal of Deshaun Watson's six-game suspension, according to Pro Football Talk Mike Florio. According to Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, he said... Goodell, quote, plans to delegate the matter to someone outside the league office. Who that is, we don't know yet, but this is not going to be Roger Goodell's decision in the end. He's not going to be the one holding the appeal, but the expectation is for the Browns to have Jacoby Brissett starting in games because we very well could see a much longer suspension than just the six games originally decided upon by Judge Sue L. Robinson for Deshaun Watson based on the findings that Judge Robinson had. Here's more details on that. So Adam Schefter of ESPN was able to get some information on what the NFL's argument is in this appeal.
The judge pointed that out in her written opinion on Monday that the league did not provide sufficient notice in advance. By the way, we heard something very similar in Deflategate with Tom Brady. And so they're two totally separate instances. You can't even compare them. But in terms of what the legal system said about notice not being given, there is a correlation there, right? So that was one of the judge's arguments. And she went to the precedent that the NFL had set with these other cases, comparing this particular case to others to derive the six games. But the NFL would argue that what Deshaun Watson did is not only, as the judge said, egregious and predatory, but the league believes it's unprecedented.
Yeah, it technically it's criminal. Like it falls in the line of sexual assault. And again, as I looked out the other day, at least in Texas, anywhere from 2 as the minimum up to 20 years in prison for sexual assault. And that's what essentially the judge, again, she was not criminally charging Deshaun or anything. This is all based on the policy, in concordance with the NFL and their policy. But criminally, it falls in that realm of sexual assault. Because Judge Robinson said that not only should Deshaun Watson have recognized that it was unwanted, but stopped because it was unwanted and not reacting on that. Predatory behavior, consistent predatory behavior. In this case, again, 60-plus masseuses he reached out to in the span of 15 to 17 months. The NFLPA has until Friday to file a written response to the appeal. No timetable for the presider of the appeal to make a ruling. So we don't know how long this is going to take. It could very well take quite some time. Again, that was Adam Schefter talking about it. Here is Mike Tannenbaum on what the appeal means for Deshaun Watson and his playing time this year.
The relationship between the league and the union is really important. And I think when Roger Goodell made the decision to appeal this decision by the third-party neutral arbitrator in Judge Robinson, he didn't do so to add two games. I fully expect when it's all said and done, Deshaun Watson does not play in this season. And I think that's what the league's message was when they filed the appeal yesterday.
Yeah, we're not only going to suspend you up to, you know, 10. We're not going to make it 10. We're not only going to make it 12. We're going to make it the entire season, possibly even longer than that. Who knows? Laying down the hammer, if you will. Mike Florio appeared on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today. Again, Pro Football Talks, Mike Florio. He had more details on one of the things that people aren't quite understanding to the full extent, including myself in this situation, given that I have played some stuff from Andrew Brandt and others, in regards to when Deshaun may be able to play based on the NFLPA's reaction to this. Here's Mike Florio and more details on that.
Tomorrow is the deadline for the union to submit its paperwork in response to what was submitted yesterday by the league. There's no hearing on appeal. There's no new evidence. The evidence is already done, and it's favorable to the NFL. The CBA and the personal conduct policy require an expedited process, but it doesn't say 3 days, 5 days, whatever, just expedited, like hurry it up. And it makes sense because people need to make plans. The Browns need to make a plan. People need to know what's going on. And there's still that possibility of the NFLPA doing what it did for Tom Brady, doing what it did for Ezekiel Elliott, going to court to fight this, and along the way trying to get a temporary injunction aimed at allowing Deshaun Watson to play while this all works out. But if that happens, because a big misconception about this, he won't play week one because his six-game suspension isn't being challenged. Unless the NFLPA decides to challenge that, and they've already said they won't, this is about week seven, not about week one.
Again, that very, very important, those details on there. Again, that was Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk reporting that. The PA not looking at that six games, but they're not appealing that. They're going after that. They're just like, hey, I want this guy to play. And that injunction would allow him to do so starting week seven if the decision hasn't been made by then. Whoever this person is that Roger Goodell appoints to hear the appeal, if it's not decided by week seven of the NFL season, then Deshaun Watson could potentially be playing against the Baltimore Ravens. So still a lot of stuff that needs to be figured out about this. A little bit of a chaotic situation still, but I think this is a good point. I'm glad that Mike Florio brought that up because a misconception is, oh yeah, it's the season, it's the beginning of the season, he can play. But again, the PA didn't decide to do anything about the six-game suspension. This is after that, he'll be able to play until it is decided. So very important information there in regards to the appeal that the NFL is having against the six-game suspension that Deshaun Watson was given by former federal judge Sue L. Robinson. I want to transition real quick to, I just want to move to college football and more importantly, the College Athlete Bill of Rights. So this is something I brought up yesterday on the show. Didn't dive into too much detail of it, but this is something that is drafted in regards to athletes and things that they're allowed to do. It's like protection for the athlete more than it is anything with pay or name, image, and likeness or any of that. According to the bill, athletes can enter a pro draft and return to school if they did not receive compensation, and if they notify the athletic director within 7 days of being drafted. The bill requires schools to provide athletes with scholarships until they complete their undergraduate degrees, something often referred to as lifetime scholarship. So this is interesting. Things that are different that are outside of the box. Again, this has nothing to do with extra compensation. This is, hey, we want some protection where if I go to the draft and I'm undrafted, I can come back to school if I notify you within 7 days. I can get a lifetime scholarship if I decide to go to the draft and I get selected. and I haven't finished my degree, i.e. a lot of basketball players, more than football players, but basketball especially, I can go to the draft, get selected when I'm 19, go play my career, and then when I come back, I still am on scholarship to finish my degree. There's no sports that I can do or anything like that, but I have a scholarship that I can get my college for free because I was there in the first place. Because again, this is the thing that's interesting about this, is that when you go to school and you're offered a full-ride scholarship, you're under that four-year plan, technically, when you're offered that scholarship. That shouldn't end as soon as you go pro. That should still exist, I think, at that school. So say, for example, you go to Duke, Paolo Banchero plays his NBA career and is like, yo, all right, I want to go back to school. He can go back and go to college at Duke if he wants to. Say he gets done, he's like, I'm going to go to Northwestern to get my degree in this. I want to go to Syracuse to do this. Then he would have to pay the full money. But wherever you went to school, I would say that school you're allowed to go back to college and get your degree from. I think that's fair. The bill also establishes, according to this story, a 9-member regulatory commission to ensure schools and conferences are following the law. The commission, which must include at least 5 former athletes, will be charged with enforcement. The bill also requires schools to provide annual public reporting of their total revenues and expenditures, including compensation for athletic department personnel, booster donations, as well as reporting the number of hours athletes commit to athletic activities. So I like this idea. I like it. It also, healthcare is another thing. Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting, I think. Because you're looking at the protection of athletes in this regard. Cory Booker, who is a Democrat from New Jersey, he also played tight end at Stanford, said in a statement, quote, being a college football player opened so many doors for me and provided me with invaluable skills that I still use to this day. At the same time, I also saw the injustices that college athletes experience as the NCAA exploits them for financial gain and willfully fails to protect their health, well-being, and safety, especially black athletes who are overrepresented in revenue-generating sports, i.e. basketball and football. Both the women's and men's side of college basketball, and then football, of course. So this is why players wanted to get some money, but also the health care as well. This is interesting. That's why the lifetime scholarships are there. That's why this idea of potential, you know, protecting their health and health care. Very interesting. Long-term athlete health care was a primary sticking point last summer when the two sides came close to a compromise. So they worked on some bipartisan legislation that ultimately failed, most notably because of language regarding postgraduate healthcare benefits. But again, when you compare the amount of work, that's why they want schools to track information. That's why they want schools to provide how many hours these athletes are dedicating towards crafts that the schools and the department, the athletic departments, make all this money from. This has nothing to do with name, image, and likeness. This has nothing to do with the transfer portal or any of the issues currently in college football. It's more of its own issue, where we need protection post-graduation or post-college playing for our safety because we dedicated, essentially, there's players, it is a full-time job, and the schools are making money off of it. If the schools made no money, then I think it's a little bit different. But for these former players, there was no name, image, and likeness. You weren't making money. You were just playing. And the schools were making all this money off of the backs of players, particularly, as Booker states, the black athletes who are participating an overwhelming majority of the revenue-generating sports that compared to other races. So more black athletes are getting taken advantage of in that regard in comparison. Very, very interesting stuff. That compared to, or that in addition to, rather, the Tommy Tuberville deal that I brought up yesterday, where he is leading a congressional push for NIL regulation. He says the goal of it is to make an even playing field, which I think a lot of coaches have signified as being the most important issues in regards to NIL legislation and trying to provide the most even playing field. Tuberville said there's got to be some rules. Right now, everybody is doing something different. There's a lot of money being paid, but this is not about the money. I've always been for the student athletes making money, but this is about giving everybody the opportunity on the college level, no matter what university, to feel like you've got an opportunity to compete. That's where we don't need collectives. Legislation that there is this amount of money that athletes can make, it doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't matter what school you play for, it doesn't matter what degree you're getting, it doesn't matter what state you're in, these are the rules. And you go from there. Sure, you're going to have some athletes get more money than others. But again, that's part of like business. I don't make as much money as Colin Cowherd or Dan Patrick does, even though we technically do similar things in the sports media world. That's the way that things go. You know, you might not be making as much money as another business, but that's the way things go. You may not be as marketable. You may be new to the business. You may be not as recognized. It could be the area that you're living in that can only afford so much. That's the deal here. It's like endorsements. Again, this is not pay for play. That's what NIL is currently being used as while being labeled legal when it's not. It is pay for play. It is not what it should be, and that's more of an endorsement-based situation. Here's Jay Williams of ESPN, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. You can hear in the mornings right here on ESPN Pensacola from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Jay Williams, here he is on the importance of name, image, and likeness.
Paige Beckers is probably the biggest star in college basketball. People knew Paige Beckers before they knew about Paolo Banchero before he got drafted. And this is the importance of why we stress for players to own their name, image, and likeness, and why we continue to push for revenue sharing. Paige Beckers had lucrative deals with Gatorade, Cash App, and StockX. She was one of the highest paid NIL players in all of college sports. Now think about her career. Second ACL tear in a year and a half.
Same leg.
She may not ever be the same.
Ugh.
I hope that she is.
Yeah.
But at least she's been able to start her business of the brand.
Yeah. Again, we talk about protection of athletes. And name, image, and likeness is a little bit tough in that regard. But Paige Beckers is a stud. She can still, you know, have something there for her as something happens. Does her family have to pay for her surgeries? Does the school take care of it? How exactly is this situation taken care of? And again, as they said, this is I didn't say it yesterday because I didn't want to be incorrect about it. I probably should have, but I remember correctly, this was her second ACL tear. Did not know it was on the same leg, as Max stated, but that's tough. She may never be the same player, regardless of how hard she works or anything like that. That's the way that these things go with these injuries, particularly now when they're in the same leg and it's the same sort of injury. As severe as an ACL tear. So definitely stinks for Paige Beckers, but you get that endorsement deal where technically Paige Beckers has got that big of a name where even if she's not as good of a player, she's still a stud and a brand name that Gatorade, StockX, Cash App can use, and people are going to recognize who that is. Marcus Lattimore might have been a dude that could have been in that same situation not too long ago. He had those horrific leg injuries, but was one of the best college running backs that we'd ever seen. Didn't have the NFL career because he couldn't play. He was hurt. And his career was over with. You know, it provides some coverage for athletes owning their name, image, and likeness, taking advantage of what they can get now because you never know when things are going to change. And your life will be altered. Your career will be altered. Like that. Sticking to the world of women's basketball, want to talk about this real quick before moving on to Trevor Penning getting kicked out of Saints practice at training camp, and then also an outlook on the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're going to hear from a couple of people on that, including Hall of Famer will be inducted this weekend, and Tony Boselli Jr. But Brittany Griner sentenced to 9 years in prison. Man, this is a tricky situation. It's obviously very delicate. So the amount of cannabis oil, essentially, that she had while traveling was very, 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 very minimal. You know, in Russia, they don't play any games with this stuff. Heard earlier on Barton Hahn with Freddie Coleman and Jason Fitz sitting in that there are chances, or there are the chance that you get charged in Russia is like over 95% of the time. Do these criminal cases come through and you are ultimately charged. So that should be no surprise to anybody that Brittany Griner had been charged. Here's TJ Quinn, ESPN investigative reporter, on what Griner being sentenced means for her.
It's hardly great news for Brittany Griner. It was, from all accounts, she's absolutely devastated. But what it does is it lets the case move from the legal world to the diplomatic world. Russia has said all along, don't talk to us about it while a trial is going on, even though it is clearly an illegitimate process. They treat it like it's real, and they want the U.S. to treat it like it's real. Now, Brittany Griner, she did that in her defense. She took it seriously, begged for the court's mercy. It didn't work. But for all purposes, whether the sentence was a year or 10 years, the length of her detention is going to be determined by however long it takes to cut a deal between those two countries.
So again, according to the story by TJ Quinn, going through further with that, she and her supporters have been aware that Russia was not going to move forward with a trade that could bring her home until the trial was completed. So by this happening and this process going, essentially, this now opens up the possibility for the United States government to help get her out of Russia and back to the United States by making a trade, a prisoner for another, essentially, in this regard. So Joe Biden issued a statement on the verdict that referred to Griner as wrongfully detained, a designation U.S. officials have used since May, and called for her release. Biden said, quote, "Today, American citizen Brittany Griner received a prison sentence. That is one more reminder of what the world already knew. Russia is wrongfully detaining Brittany. It's unacceptable, and I call on Russia to release her immediately so she can be with her wife, loved ones, friends, and teammates." And the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, and Kathy Engelbert, WNBA commissioner, in a joint statement, called the sentencing and the verdict unjustified and unfortunate. So hopefully we are closer to the end of this process where Brittany Griner can be brought home. Again, look, agree with any of the things that she does, like her as a basketball player or not. She is, again, an American citizen, and it's important to bring those folks home who, and it doesn't even matter in Brittany Griner's situation. It could be Brittany Griner. It does matter in her situation, but it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. It could be her. It could be anybody else who is an American prisoner overseas. We ought to be trying to get everybody that we can back to the United States of America. So again, this is part of the process. Hopefully she'll be home sooner rather than later. Transitioning to the NFL. So this is a very interesting story coming out of training camp. Trevor Penning. First round draft choice by the New Orleans Saints. One of the two selections they had, taking Chris Olave and then taking Penning, offensive lineman out of Northern Iowa, started a fight for the third straight day, and he was kicked out of practice. As I said before in the tease, the Saints should have known about this. He's a guy that has a lot of edge to him, I would say. Saints coach Dennis Allen said, quote, "We don't have time for that. I sent two guys in today, and we've got to get our work done. We've got to learn as a team how to compete and how to play and how to practice and push ourselves to the limit, but yet not take it over the edge. It's not unusual for something like that to occur in training camp. It's certainly something we don't want to see happen. It'll be addressed and we'll move forward." It'll be addressed after the three times that it happened. I mean, normally, you know, we see it happen every now and then. 3 days in a row of these issues is something that this ain't going to cut it. "I'm just finishing the play, man." Sure you are, but look, I don't know about that. Penning said Monday after practice, quote, "It's football. We're competing. It's a tough game for tough people, and you've got to be able to take that. There's no bad blood between us. We're just competitors competing." Okay? I mean, I don't know if, having watched the videos, if anything was really over the edge, though, by Trevor Penning to cause those fights. It's more of just he did a really nice job blocking and took it to the whistle, which you could say, look, in training camp, is that really needed? Like, something might come up during a game and you take it to the whistle, but during practice, during training camp, I don't know. You could say he took it over the edge a little bit for the fact that it was being training camp. But in the end, this is something that is kind of a distraction. I mean, it's a little bit of a distraction. It's hopefully going to get taken care of for the Saints' sake, hopefully for Dennis Allen, as he said. We're going to deal with it, and hopefully it's done and it no longer comes up again. We'll have to see if it does. But again, the Saints should have known about this, though. He had a little bit of an edge to him in the Senior Bowl and everything like that. Performed well, but can get in defenders' heads. We'll see how that goes. I mean, if there's anything that happens on the field during the season, then it may be addressed further. I'd like to see how he handles things when he gets taken to the ground, though, as well. Like, you can dominate a guy and feel some type of way, but what happens if Myles Garrett puts you on your butt and sacks the quarterback? Are you going to get up and start swinging at him or whatever because you're mad because he beat you or something? That's what we don't want to see from Trevor Penning if you're the Saints. That ain't it. You know, that's not what you want. Look into the Jacksonville Jaguars, another team that we cover here in the Panhandle area. A team with an interesting outlook on their season. Some expectations for Trevor Lawrence in year two, 12 touchdowns last year to 17 interceptions. Threw for a good amount of yards, but that whole fiasco of a situation as well is gone. Here is Doug Peterson, new head coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, on his expectations for Trevor Lawrence in year two.
That's the goal, obviously, is to make a significant jump in year two. And I think building off of last year, the fact that he played the entire season, we can build off of that and really, you know, really expect, you know, kind of a sky's the limit mentality, you know, with him. He's in the same frame of mind as well. He wants to take that next step, and not only in his growth, but obviously leading this football team. So today's day one of that, and you know, we're just excited to be on the grass with him and the rest of the team.
No, I think everybody should be in a happier place in the Jacksonville Jaguars organization now that Urban Meyer is not there. That alone should, I think, help things. And speaking of the Jaguars, they play tonight, 7 p.m. kickoff Central Time. Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. Trevor Lawrence will not play in that game. Travis Etienne will not play in the game. I would suspect that Derek Carr is not going to play. If he does, he gets maybe a series, and that's about it. Trying to limit injuries, obviously, with it being the preseason. But we do have football tonight on NBC, 7 p.m. Central Time. Jaguars will be in action. But I think that after Urban Meyer was gone, I think there had to have been a sigh of relief in the room. Like, oh, okay, a deep breath. Like, we're done with this now. Let's move on. And Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence having that communication before the actual hiring happened. And him being a quarterback guy, having won a Super Bowl before, I think it's a good hire by Jacksonville. I think it's one that Trevor Lawrence can definitely build on. And the team is going to have higher expectations. I think they'll be better. They bring in Christian Kirk. They've still got James Robinson. They've got Trayvon Walker there defensively. They've got a young nucleus of guys, but I wouldn't be surprised if they won 5 or 6 games this year. Here is Tony Boselli Jr., new Hall of Famer, on expectations for the Jaguars this year that he has.
It was so bad and so dysfunctional last year. It's almost unfair to look at the numbers on the field. I actually look at the whole picture of Trevor Lawrence and what he was able to do from a leadership standpoint and hold that thing together and not crack under the pressure with a head coach who did not know what he was doing and was not doing the right thing off the field. So, you know, maybe that's a little bit of a cop-out, but I do think he's going to be a superstar. And I think Doug Peterson will get him there. You know, I don't think this is a team that's going to do what the Bengals did, go from last to the Super Bowl, but I do think they will be playing meaningful football in December and probably get close to that 500 or just over 500 mark and set the stage for a team that has good talent, a really good coach, and I think a generational quarterback.
And again, I think the fact that you have a guy in Doug Peterson who has won a Super Bowl before, that's got to be one of the most encouraging things that you've got going for you is, hey, this guy not only has been there, but he's done that. And I mean, he won with Nick Foles, a backup quarterback, so he knows how to get it done. And you get a guy like Trevor Lawrence who, again, as we were going through the tiers of NFL quarterbacks and the Athletic putting out these tiers, Trevor Lawrence was in that tier where I don't know if the guy is good enough to carry a team as opposed to in the category of this guy's too young that we don't know yet. I think he should have been in that category where we're really not sure how good he's going to be yet. I think there's still a lot of belief in him that, as Tony Boselli said, without Urban Meyer now and a system and a coach where the guy's got your back and it's not a chaotic and a toxic situation, you can play better. And the fact that, as he said, he played all last year, yeah, he only had 12 touchdowns and 17 picks, but believe me, I would expect that to at least flip to a more positive ratio from touchdowns to picks and maybe even get up to that 20 touchdown mark. And I don't know if he'll go single-digit interceptions, but get up to a much better ratio that has Jacksonville playing in meaningful games come November and December. And he thinks it'll be 500. I would say a little bit lower than that, but anywhere from 5 to 7 wins, 5-12, 6-11, 7-10. Is that not a winning season? That would more than double their total from last year from the win column. I think that would definitely be a good sign for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's going to do it for today's podcast. Thank you for listening to the Sports Drive postponed pod. Anytime that the Wahoos have a game postponed for the remainder of the season, not too much longer left, but we deal with these things where Mother Nature is in charge of us. And we have the Wahoos on. We're happy to have them on. But if we do have a situation where the Sports Drive would be rather canceled live, I'll be doing about a half hour or so like we did today of just running through some headlines, giving some thoughts on things, and having some audio for you guys to listen to if you'd like to do that as well. We'll have the Wahoos again today, tomorrow, and throughout the rest of the season. Their first playoff series coming later in September. But again, this has been the Sports Drive postponed pod. Thank you for listening. You can listen wherever podcasts are found. Catch you tomorrow for more Sports Drive live at 5. Till then, peace. Thank you for listening to the podcast.